As we go into our sermon this morning, I'm the discipleship pastor, so we're going to have fun today and talk about how we can go deeper in the faith through Scripture. Richard Foster has been one of my favorite guys for about 30 years. He's a Quaker. He talks a lot about the spiritual life. And see if you agree with him what he says in this level. He says this: the desperate need today is not for a great number of intelligent people, nor for gifted people, but for deep people. When we think about Easter, we talk about the resurrected Christ walking with us every day. And that's what we want, isn't it? We want to be deep people. We want to hold Christ's hand. We want to be close to his heart. We want to say, Lord, whatever your plan is for this world, I want to be a part of it. I want your heartbeat to be in sync with mine. I just really want to sync up with you, Lord, and find your perspective on my work, on my school, on my relationships. I want to be walking with Christ. You know, I had a friend, and we're talking about this being in sync with Christ and finding, reflecting God's will through the Word. I had a friend of mine a few years ago, several years ago now, and he basically hated his job. I won't ask for a show of hands, you know, but he basically hated his job. Didn't like his job. He'd tell anybody that would listen how much he hated it. But here was the irony. I thought it was absolutely hilarious. He kept getting promoted in that job. So the job that he hated, it was working in a four-story furniture store. I mean, this was a high-end store. This is where people came from a tri-state area, and they would come in and buy. And he kept getting promoted and promoted and promoted until the only person over him was the owner. And the owner basically said, I want you to do the buying. I want you to do everything. He says, I'm getting ready to retire. I want you to just do. And he still hated his job. I mean, it was just hilarious. He kept getting promoted until one day, he was having his devotions. You know, it's always tricky when the Lord starts talking to you, right? So he's having his devotions. He's reflecting on the Scripture, and he's praying, and he's telling the Lord how much he hates his job, you know. And he says, the Lord spoke to him in a still, small voice and said, look, I have put you at the most prestigious store in town. I have made you and promoted you up to a managerial position. You have people coming from all over the tri-state area. Many of them have never darkened the door of a church. And you are the strongest Christian in this store. And you know, he said he got so convicted by the Holy Spirit, he quit saying, I hate my job. Never said it again. And here's what he would say: God has made me a missionary to my city. Now that's a flip, right? I hate my job too. God has made me a missionary to my city. And it's because he was reflecting. It's because he was surrendering. It was because he was listening to God's heart. In his perspective, it was a horrible job. But in God's perspective, it was a great job because he had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to talk to people about Christ. And the owner didn't care. The owner said, do whatever you want. It's interesting what our lives would be like if our heartbeat would be more in sync with God's heartbeat, right? If we'd be more on the level of saying, God, what is your will? What do you want me to do? And I like the little phrase here. It says, listening prayer produces faith-filled responses to life. That's Richard Foster's will. Listening prayer produces faith-filled responses to life. How do we become deeper people? We become deeper people by getting the heartbeat of God, by listening closely and saying, Lord, I know you want to energize me. I know you want to empower me. Paul will talk about this in the book of Ephesians. And in fact, the very first part of the letter, it's one of it's his magnum opus. It's his great work. Paul in Ephesians summarizes everything that he will talk about in all the other letters. And here's what he says. Listen closely. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope for which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Paul talks about this engagement with God. He says, you know what? It's not just that we know God with our head. We encounter him somehow with our heart. We touch his heart. We begin to have this personal relationship. And it's such a great thing. Paul says, the hope is only in Christ and the riches are in him. Jesus talks about this eyes of our heart being enlightened in a little bit different way. Now, this is before his crucifixion. It's the great Olivet Discourse, John 14, 15, and 16. In John chapter 14, Jesus tries to encourage the disciples by telling them he's going to do this very thing. He's going to engage with them once he comes back in the form of the Holy Spirit. Listen to verse 25. All this I have spoken while I was still with you. But the Advocate, And some of your translations will say counselor. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Now, you see what Jesus is doing here. It's a couple things. First of all, he's telling the disciples, I'm going to be in your head. I'm going to remind you of everything that I have said to you. So the teachings are going to come flooding back. Your mind is going to be aware of me. But not just that, it's going to be your emotions. Don't you love that little phrase? Peace, peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Not as the world gives. Christ is saying, even in your emotions, I'm going to walk with you. Your head, your mind, I'm going to flood back all this memory of the knowledge, but also I'm going to walk with you heart to heart. I love that about Christ because that shows that he loves me. It shows that it's not just a list of rules. It shows that it's just not just a saying, hey, do this, do that. But it's, hey, I want to be with you. I want to engage with you. I want the eyes of your heart to be enlightened. And I want to speak with you every single day and give you peace. Today, we can read the Bible with our mind. And that's good. That's study. It's good to have head knowledge of the Lord. That's what he wants. But when we read the Bible with our heart, that's when life transformation happens. That's when we begin to change. That's when we begin to say, oh, yes, Lord, I see. Like our guy in the opening introduction, you know, who said, oh, yeah, I see now, Lord, what you're doing. I'm a missionary to my community. We want that kind of life transformation and life change. Now, a lot of times we think, oh, well, every time I read the Bible, I don't always, you know, launch the rocket ship. I don't always get excited. I don't always have this huge epiphany. And can I just tell you, sometimes reading the Bible is sitting up with a cup of coffee, looking out into your wooded area. I've got two pine trees, you know, out back. That's my wooded area. So, you know, I look into my wooded area, and, you know, I've got my little cardinal feeder out there, and I watch the juncos come in, my favorite little bird, and I watch these guys come in, and I drink Theodore's coffee, the best coffee brewed in Owosso. It's just awesome. And I sit there, but some mornings it's like I just keep plowing through, and I can't quite make devotions happen, but I keep plowing through. I keep reading. Until God finally speaks. You know, it's not all rocket ships. Sometimes it's just a little bump. Sometimes it's God saying, you know what, love you today. You know, it's nothing sometimes huge. But the point is, we keep doing it every single day. And here's our goals. I've got four of them here for you today. Every day we try to immerse ourselves into Scripture truth. Every day we try to use our imagination and put ourselves in the Bible story. We'll talk about that more in just a minute. Every day we want to hear how God speaks to those in the story. And as he speaks to those in the Bible story, we want to ask God to help me surrender, obey, change in the way that they're changing in the biblical story. This is a great way to listen to the voice of God. You know, I know that in several generations, this has been called contemplative prayer. It's been called, through the centuries, it's been called different things by the early church. But today we're going to call it listening prayer. And here's the perfect example of listening prayer. It's a story of Jim Smith, and it's from the book of Prayer by Richard Foster. And Jim Smith was a good guy. He was a Christian. He was a bright guy. He graduated with college with honors, but after a second year in seminary and studying hard into the intellectual stuff, he started to have a dryness in his spirit. He couldn't seem to really have his spiritual life enriched, and so he thought, well, I'll take a spiritual retreat. He wasn't Catholic, but he went to a Catholic monastery, and he thought, I'll spend time in prayer, and surely these monks can help me. And his monk that he was assigned, he was there for 5 days, and the monk that he was assigned, he was immediately disappointed with, because under the monk's robes were Adidas jogging shoes. So it was the jogging monk, he says. You know, he wasn't real thrilled with that. He thought, you know, this guy can't be that spiritual. He's a jogger. But his very first encounter with the monk, he gave Jim one assignment. He said, okay. The monk said to Jim, he says, I want you to listen to the narrative of when Gabriel the angel comes to Mary and pronounces to her that she's going to bear the Messiah. And I want you to read through that passage. I want you to listen to it with your heart. I want you to meditate on it, reflect on it, and I want you to come back with insights. And then Jim thought to himself, yeah, I've read that passage 100 times. He says, I'll give it a shot. So he goes back to his little cell in the monastery. Begins to read the birth narrative, and you remember Gabriel comes to Mary, and you know you are highly favored, and gives the whole speech, and he reads it several times, and he slices and dices it, and he pulls a lot of intellectual stuff out of it that he thinks will impress the monk, and then he twiddles his thumbs for the rest of the day and goes to bed. Next morning, meets with the monk with Adidas jogging shoes. So the monk says, okay, Jim, what happened? And Jim said, well, you know, here's some of the things I thought about, and here's some of the things I know, and he tells him this stuff from his knowledge, and the monk said, well, Jim, that's not really what we're looking for. You know, a little bit disappointed. You didn't really have what we were looking for. What was your aim in reading the passage? And Jim said, well, it's for deeper understanding. And the monk said, well, there's more than just finding out what the Bible says and what the Bible means. Jim, there's also questions like, what did it say to you? Were you struck by anything? And most importantly, did you experience God in your reading? And Jim kind of hung his head, and he said, no, nothing like that happened. And the monk said, okay, guess what? Same passage all day today. Do it again. So Jim goes back to his little thing, and he begins to read, and he just said it was like dust in his hands. He said the scripture was lifeless. He said he kept plowing through it, read it over and over again until he almost had it memorized, but it was lifeless, and God just simply didn't speak all day long, nothing. So he goes back the next morning. The monk says, what's happening, Jim? And Jim says, nothing. I've got nothing. Nothing seems to be speaking to me. And here's what the monk said. It's interesting. He said, you're trying too hard. You're trying to control God. I want you to go back to the passage this time, and I want you to be open to whatever God would say to you. He says, it's like sleeping. He says, you can't make yourself sleep, but you create the conditions for sleeping. You open your Bible, you read it slowly, you listen to it, and then you reflect upon it. And Jim, utterly discouraged, went back to his little room. And he said he began to cry, and he began to weep, and he threw himself on his bed, and he just continued weeping. He said there was a lot of stuff that he was trying to deal with, and he says it seems like God just wasn't speaking. And finally, he prayed this prayer. He said, God, I give up. You win. There's nothing else I can do. After he was done resting a little bit, he said he got up, he opened his Bible again. He began to read the same thing, the narrative of Gabriel when it comes to Mary. But this time, it was like a window opened. He said, this time, the words were different. This time, it spoke to Jim. And he said, I began to reflect on what the angel said. And he said, those little words were great words for me. Let it be with me, just as you say. You remember? It's the surrender of Mary. It's the call to say, you're going to be a virgin. You're a virgin, and you're going to have a son. And Mary's overwhelmed. She doesn't know what to say, but she says, let it be with me, just as you say. And Jim began to repeat those words in his head. And then God spoke, he said. God wanted to be his friend. And all of a sudden, he began to think about past doubts and fears, because Mary had doubts and fears. He began to think about past doubts and fears, and God began to bring those forward in his mind. And he began to think about those and how God began to heal them. He began to thank God and to praise God. God brought grace to his past memories. And then, even though he could hardly believe it, those words of the angels spoke to him even more deeply. You have found favor with God. You remember Gabriel? You have found favor with God. Mary's confused question became Jim's question. How can this be? But as he began to reflect again on what the scripture said, he began to realize the depth of love that God had for him. The depth of mercy he had for his past and his past mistakes and failures, and how much God loved him. And for the rest of the retreat, he would repeat, let it be with me, just as you say. And from that point on, Jim went out into a ministry that was full of life and full of the resurrected Christ as he walked with the Lord. Reflection upon scripture. You know, one principle we're going to talk about today of heart listening is just this, is that we are all seeking to live the experience of scripture in our lives. You know, God's in the business of transforming our hearts if we just will listen to him. This listening to God, it's nothing new. It's hundreds of years old. It's been called contemplative prayer. It's been called lecto divina. It's been called many different things. But when we read the scripture, we begin to experience what's happening in the scripture. I love what Alexander White says. He says, you open your New Testament, and by your imagination, at that moment, you are one of Christ's disciples. You are at his feet. With your imagination, anointed with holy oil, at one time, you're the publican. At another time, you're the prodigal. At another time, you're Mary Magdalene. At another time, you're Peter on the porch denying Christ. I can just tell you, in this Lenten season, I practiced for this. I spent a whole week with Gideon in the Old Testament, the book of Judges. And you know, I love Gideon because Gideon is just like me. Gideon is full of doubts. You know, he says, "Oh Lord, if this is you, let the fleece be wet and let the ground be dry." You know, and Gideon just can't seem to jump up and in faith attack in the Midianites. He has to have God speaking to him over and over again. And that's me. I mean, I love that. I love that about Gideon. And I love that God was patient with Gideon over and over again with the fleece and with the dream of the barley. And you know, just putting myself in that story. I prayed, "Lord, you know, I want to be like Gideon, but I want to be even more." In the Lenten season, I prayed, you know, through the life of Daniel. I took a whole week and I spent as Daniel. And that's a big charge. Daniel wasn't like Gideon. He didn't seem to doubt a lot. He was one of these guys that just stood firm for God. And when Nebuchadnezzar told Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, "Bow down to the 90-foot statues," Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, "We're not going to do it, you know. You think you are God, but we serve the living God, and you can do whatever you want to with us." And so they threw him into the fiery furnace, and the Bible says when they came out there, they were still alive, number one, but their clothes didn't even smell like smoke. And you know, in my prayer, I say, "Lord, you know, make me like Daniel, make me like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Let me stand for you when the world around me is bowing down to the 90-foot golden idol, and everybody else says, 'Hey, that's what we should do.' Help me to stand for you." Life transforming. Scripture is life transforming. And I tell you this, especially in the major parts of life, when you're making a major transition in your life, find a scripture, hold on to it, cling to it, get a promise from God, have God speak to you through the scripture. You know, one of the things that I do, I've had to move from church to church. I believe God has called me. And when I was moving in transition to this last church, I just felt like the Lord in February said, it's time to start closing up and it's time to leave. And he didn't say where to go. So I thought, well, it's probably, you know, around here in West Virginia. So I just started praying. But you know, as the doors kept closing in West Virginia, I thought, "Wow, Lord, you know, it's kind of like Moses." And I went to the life of Moses and I read about how God led him. Do you remember where God led him? Right up to the Red Sea. Wasn't that encouraging? Million people right up to the Red Sea. You know, nowhere to go. Pharaoh's army is out on their tail and there's nowhere to go. God led him to the Red Sea. But the thing that I realized is if God leads you there, God has a plan. And what I remember as I lived with that verse in Exodus, lived with those verses in Exodus, I love the fact that God led them with a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. It wasn't just a little pillar. It was stories and stories and stories tall. It was the presence of God. And when they needed God most, and the Pharaoh and all his Egyptians were getting ready to slaughter them, the pillar of fire moved from the front of them and went to the behind them and protected them utterly and totally while God separated the Red Sea. And you know what my prayer was? "Lord, that's the kind of faith I want. When I'm up against the biggest problem of my life, when I'm up against the biggest decision of my life, and it looks like the Red Sea is right in front of me, God, remind me of the pillar of fire. Remind me of the strong east wind that began to blow and dried up the sea so that it was split across and they walked across on dry land." I believe those stories with all my heart, and I believe God wants to encourage us as we reflect on Scripture, as we grab His promises, as we listen to the heartbeat of God. Okay, we're going to practice this morning. We're going to practice John chapter 20. Now, Easter was just last week. You remember the story is with Mary Magdalene. We're going to read the Scripture in just a minute. But I want you to try to put yourself in the place of Mary Magdalene. Now, Mary Magdalene traditionally has been delivered from the demonic. She's been delivered from demons. You think she's not grateful to Jesus Christ? She's incredibly grateful to Christ. She's at the cross as Jesus is crucified. She's the first at the tomb at the resurrection, but she doesn't realize that Jesus has been resurrected. She thinks somebody has taken the body. So let's enter into the story at that point. So you're Mary Magdalene. You go to the tomb. The guys are kind of lazy, and they're back there, you know, getting ready to have breakfast. This is for the ladies, okay, for a second. The guys are there. Peter and John are there, but they're not coming to the tomb. But you're Mary, and you realize that the body has not been properly prepared. You know that there has to be aloes and spices. And so you go to the tomb, and you just think, well, maybe I can figure out how to get the boulder moved away. But the boulder's already gone. It's moved. And so all of a sudden, here you are. You're looking into an empty tomb. What would you feel? Put yourself in Mary Magdalene's place. Shock? You'd feel appalled that maybe there's a grave robber. Maybe he's taken Jesus' body. Maybe that he's begun to desecrate the body. And so you figure out, well, I need at least to go and get some help. So you run to Peter and John. You run the long way back to the city. Peter and John, they get excited about the problem, so they run with you. So this is your second lap. You're going back to the empty tomb, and Peter and John are there, and you're both hot, and you're sweating, and you're thinking, man, this has really been a wild day. And you look into the tomb. And the Bible says that Peter runs into the tomb, and he's trying to figure it out. And John, in just a minute, it calls him the other disciple, but it's John, and he goes into the tomb as well. And Mary Magdalene, maybe they touch the linen garment. You can imagine yourself touching the linen, the beautiful linen. You can see the white. It's beautiful, but it's got the blood of Jesus on it. You can sense the desperation of Mary when she can't figure it out. Now, John and Peter figure it out. They think, oh, well, the resurrection, it really did happen. And so they go home, but if you listen to the passage carefully as we read it, Mary doesn't figure it out. What's she feeling? She's feeling probably anger that Peter and John have gone home and left her to find the body by herself, right? She's feeling confusion, not sure what's going on. She's weeping, and the tears are so, she's so distraught, she can't even begin to figure out what's going on. Let's look at John chapter 20, 1 through 9. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one Jesus loved, and said, they've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him. So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Excuse me. Imagine yourself as Mary Magdalene. You've got these guys, Peter and John, they've been there, but they really don't seem to be helping in your perspective, in your point of view. And in fact, you're weeping so hard, you look back into the tomb after these guys are gone, Peter and John. You look back in the tomb, and you see two other guys, and you're not sure what's going on. But in verse 11, it says, now Mary stood outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, woman, why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away, she said, and I don't know where they have put him. So you see it, right? Frantic. Feeling of desperation. A feeling of maybe they're desecrating Jesus' body. I've got to find him. I've got to find him. And so she turns around so frantic, and she sees someone that looks like the gardener. In fact, she says, sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will go and get him. Now, this is amazing. If you think about this is where you slowly read. This is where you slowly reflect. There's no way she can drag the body of a full-grown man, a carpenter, heavy-duty, muscular. There's no way Mary Magdalene's going to be able to do that. But in her love, what's she feeling? In her love, in her desperation, in her concern for the body of Christ, she's offering even to try to pull the body back into its right place, back into the tomb. I love Mary Magdalene, because she's at a Red Sea experience. I love Mary Magdalene because she has been delivered in the past from the demonic, and she is standing now before the one who did it, though she doesn't know it yet. And mostly, I love Jesus because he, in his wonderful concern, says one word, Mary, and speaks her name. And in that one word, she recognizes him. She says, Rabboni, in another of the translations, the gospel. She says, Lord, it is you. And she begins to hug his feet. And here it is. With the feeling of Mary, we can feel the depth of joy. We can feel this depth of awe, this feeling that Jesus is alive. This one who delivered me from the demons has been delivered from death. And here he is now, my precious King and Master. The Spirit is how the Bible comes alive in our life. It's not just a quick reading. It's not just a quick, hey, I know that. Or like the guy in the illustration, Jim, where he says, oh, I've read that 100 times. I know that. The way God speaks to you today is for you to enter into the text today, to sense who Jesus is, to sense that he saw Mary's desperation. He sensed her utter franticness. And he begins to minister to her just by calling her name. Put yourself in the story. The whole point of the sermon today, put yourself in the story. Read the scripture, whether it's the publican, whether it's the sinner, whether it's those that need a miracle, it's the blind man. Put yourself in the story, and most of all, try to see Jesus. Try to see this Jesus who loves you deeply, who calls you by name. And when you do that day after day after day, it might not be a rocket ship experience every time. It might be a little push, a little bump. It might be a little love from Jesus. But he makes us deeper people. From his word, a Christ follower says this, I choose a life of heart listening, that getting the beat of Jesus' heart. For in scriptures, I have encountered the God of Mary Magdalene. Christ is truly present in my life, and I'm continually being transformed by his word to heal me, change me, forgive me, and empower me. What does Christ want to do in you this Easter season? You might be like Moses up against the Red Sea and not sure where to go. Have to make a decision that's huge and you're not sure where to go. You might be like Gideon, struggling with your faith, and you know God has called you to attack the Midianites. You know what the direction that he wants you to go, but you're not quite sure how to do it. Reflect on the scripture. Reflect on these passages that are so key. There's so many in the scripture that you can go to, but the New Testament is especially key. And if you're not sure exactly where to go, go to the words of Jesus, always. John 15, John 16, John 17, where Jesus instructs his disciples and begins to heal their spirit. We're going to close today with listening to one of my favorite video clips. It is the awe and the wonder of who Jesus is. It's perfect for the Sunday after Easter. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Mary discovers this on Resurrection Day. We want to discover it. We want to listen with our heart, even today, and say, Lord, if there's something that's binding me up, Lord, if there's something that I need broken in my life from the bondage of sin, Lord, take care of it today. As you listen to this video, just maybe simply whisper, yes, Lord, or amen. It's listening with your heart. I'd like even to open the altar today. During the video clip, this would be the altar call, and just say, you know what, I can come down, and in my brokenness, Jesus can heal me. We would let you pray all by yourself. If you need a pastor, you can look up and signal us, but just on your own, praying for Christ to meet your need. Like we said, the Red Sea, Mary Magdalene situation, listen to his spirit, seek Christ, listen with your heart. Christ is here. He's willing to call you by name.
The Bible says, my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. Yes, he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. And the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah! That's my King. That's my King.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Christ the King. Stan, let's have a closing benediction. Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. We are thankful for the cross that substituted for our sin when we had no other way to approach God. Jesus Christ died for our sins in our place. And when we simply put our faith in Jesus and repent of our sins, we have communion with God. Lord, let our heartbeat be your heartbeat. Let us see life from your perspective, not just to say, I hate my job, but maybe to realize that you've put us in that job for a reason. Lord, we want to live with the resurrected Christ. We want to live with hope, with passion, with authority, because we are Christians over Satan. Lord, we look forward to that day when you come again. We think of Revelation when it says that you will come on the great white horse, and every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And on that day, you take up your kingship. On that day, Lord, all things will be made new. And we look forward to that day as Christians, Lord. And we give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.